This is Audio Tractor, discussions around music and creativity. I'm Alan Strickland. Ira Wolf is with us today. Thank you for taking time out of a really hectic schedule to come talk about songwriting.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Ira Wolf's music and writing is vulnerable, honest, and delightfully subtle. She draws from personal experience and connects on an intimate level through her honest lyrics and melancholy vocals. A great description of your style that I stole from your website.
Thank you.
I was going to say, you're looking at me like, that's somehow familiar.
I'm like, I've heard this before.
I first heard your music when a mutual friend of ours, Kevin Harper, was mixing your album titled The Closest Thing to Home. Mm-hmm. And the lyrics grabbed me, and I've been a fan ever since. So tell me about your connection to music and when it started.
Sure. I have been a musician basically my entire life. My mom always joked that I sang before I talked. And I started playing piano when I was 5 and violin when I was 10 and clarinet somewhere in there and just a multitude of different strange instruments as I was growing up. But voice in particular, I always, always, always loved singing. And that's what I told people I wanted to be when I grew up, was a singer. And that kind of continued to develop into my teen years. I started songwriting and picked up the guitar when I was 16. Didn't anticipate being a songwriter from there, but it kind of turned into that as I got into my college years and beyond.
When it comes to songwriting, is that scheduled and intentional? It's a part of every day? Or is it like more of a moment that just sort of catches you?
Definitely more moment-based. I've tried so hard to be the Nashville songwriter where I schedule my sessions and I sit down and I'm productive, and it just fails every time that I try.
So you can't say, I'm creative starting right now.
Absolutely
and
not.
I'm done at noon for a break and I'll be creative again.
Yeah, it's definitely more for me. It's always been like, oh, it's 3 a.m. and it's very inconvenient, but I have to put this down or I have to play this lyric that's in my brain right now. So yeah, songwriting has always been very spontaneous for me, very in the moment. Something will come to me and I just kind of have to word vomit all of it.
Is it the silence and the darkness and the stillness of the overnight hours that lets you be creative?
I think so. I definitely have the kind of brain that's hard to slow down. And so I'm easily distracted during the day. When I'm laying in bed and the day is done and there's nothing else that I can really contribute to being productive with my day, I think, yeah, that's when I finally allow myself to relax enough and like let lyrics come or let ideas kind of meander their way out.
Listening to your music, it's really clear. You're vulnerable. The lyrics are thought-provoking. Now, is this authenticity sort of risky or is that something that sort of flows easily from you?
It used to be a lot easier, if I'm honest.
Well, there you go again.
Yeah. Kind of going back to the fact that I never thought I would be a songwriter. I always wanted to sing and I loved performing. And I just really enjoy vocal instrumentation. But when I started songwriting, it was kind of this therapeutic journal for me. It wasn't necessarily meant to be shared. It was just kind of something that happened naturally. And I started, instead of, you know, writing sad poems as a teenager, I just started writing sad songs. Then as I got a little older and started sharing a couple of those songs, the connection that I received through sharing those songs was really magical. Seeing this vulnerability of other people experiencing my vulnerability and saying, you know, oh, I've been there, I've felt that. You put into words something that I thought I was alone in. That was really, really cool. Back when I started releasing recorded music, I still was kind of under the impression that no one would ever hear it, I guess. And it was kind of just the byproduct of me performing. I wanted to perform and I needed something to give people or to showcase, and that was recorded music. And then by some miracle, that music became a little more popular, and I'm so, so thankful for that. But it's also contributed to a lot of writer's block now, because as I get older and as I understand that the songs I write will likely be heard by millions of people at this point, that can be really daunting. I think it was easier to be vulnerable when I thought no one would hear it. And now I'm like, ooh, how much do I really want to share with the whole world? And how much of myself do I want to let other people consume, I guess?
So when you're playing live, you can see the faces and the reactions of people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're selling compact discs or streaming over the internet, you don't have that face-to-face connection, so you don't know what's happening.
Right. Yeah. It opens up a totally new open space of sharing yourself with the world and not getting anything in return.
It's almost like silence is coming back.
Yeah. And so it can feel really scary because you're like, oh, what if I've shared my deepest, darkest secrets, or I've shared all of who I am. And what if no one cares? Or worse, what if someone hates it? And I'm learning slowly to try and let those insecurities go and focus more on the positive impact of connecting with the people who need it.
On your website, you have a t-shirt for sale mm-hmm. that says, Ira Wolf made me cry.
Yep.
And I saw that and I sort of giggled at it. And then I watched your video, Sunscreen, mm-hmm. after which I was qualified to purchase that t-shirt.
Yeah.
So, I love the way that your songs and videos take time to develop ideas and stories. You're not in a hurry. How did you discover the freedom to take the time you need?
Ooh, that's a great question.
I mean, everybody else is rushing around to get to that first chorus, and you're not.
Yeah, which is kind of funny that you say that, because I went to a music school in Boston called Berklee, and I remember that being such a focus of, you know, songwriting as a job or songwriting as a formula. And, you know, you have these keys are the most effective keys to reach an audience and these beats per minute. And you have to hit your chorus within 30 seconds and your hook has to be six times within the song and all of these, yeah, different like equations for how to write a good song. And that just never made sense to me. I historically have been known to write really long songs. So I actually typically have to condense them down quite a bit. And I think maybe that's part of it, is that I just never fell in love with the equation of songwriting. It was always just more important of the feeling. And to me, a lot of times getting to those choruses or those bigger moments does take a little more time for me. I have a lot to say if I'm writing a song.
Yeah, one of your videos, you're just sort of sprawled in this old, like a 70 Grand Prix or something. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out what that was. I'm like,
oh, I don't even know what that was.
I shouldn't be focusing on the car, but it's a cool car. And you're just sort of hanging your head out the window as mm-hmm. as all of this crowd noise and, mm-hmm. and everything sort of spins through your head. And yeah. rather than pushing me towards that first chorus or pushing me, you're sort of drawing me in silently mm. with no music, but just a visual. And I'm like, nobody else is doing this.
That's interesting. Yeah, that...
The pace makes me stay.
Oh, that's cool. That's really neat. I've worked with some really amazing videographers over the years. So I think the video that you're talking about, I think, is for Some Days. And the one for Sunscreen, both of those videos, I kind of just handed off creative control in both of those situations and just let the directors take the song wherever they wanted to, whatever it meant for them. And like when I first saw the Sunscreen song, because I wasn't part of that filming at all, I basically was like, yeah, you want to make a video, I'll pay you and you send me what you got. And when he sent me the video, I too was just sobbing. I was like, oh my God, this guy took my song and made it something so much more than I had initially intended.
Well, a song, Sunscreen, uh-huh. conjures up images of the beach.
Yeah.
And I think your lyrics are, I want someone to remind me to put on sunscreen.
Yeah. Right? Uh-huh.
So immediately that would take us to a beach, mm-hmm. and especially with Bro Country and a lot of the other videos that are available now, you know, there mm-hmm. has to be a boat, babes, beer, and a truck. And I'm like, what is she, what? Because I'd heard the song, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, she's got a video for sunscreen. What? And I was so shocked.
Yeah.
I was so shocked that this mm-hmm. has nothing to do with the beach, but it has everything to do with life.
Yeah.
and the end of it, basically.
Exactly.
And I was just like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you find that freedom? I mean, you told me you just handed it off to some guy. How do you let one of your creations out of your hands so easily?
Oh, it wasn't easy. It's never easy. I'm definitely a control freak. I think over the years, I've learned that collaboration is so important, and that keeping things for yourself or trying to do everything yourself is just not... I don't think that's beneficial to the art itself. Again, it's all about vulnerability. When you open yourself up and allow someone into that space to create with you, it can lead to some really magical outcomes. And that was the sunscreen video. That song for me was so much about a new beginning, about these are the things I want in life and these are the qualities that I want from a partner. And the way that they interpreted the song was, I've lost my person, or I had all of these things in life and now I realize how much they meant. So yeah, I think that was really cool for me to be able to consume someone else's art that was inspired by my own.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How do those lyrics surface? How do your lyrics come about?
The best ones, I have no idea, genuinely. My songwriting, most times, is just me sitting with a guitar and having a lyric in my mind and starting to just sing and play chords, and whatever falls out is kind of where the song goes. So a lot of times I'll just turn my little voice recorder app on, just start singing, and 5 minutes later I stop and I listen back, and there's some little nuggets of magic in there that I didn't know were in my brain. So it's kind of a free write exercise, I guess, where you kind of just throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and oftentimes are pleasantly surprised by what comes out that you didn't know needed to come out, or you didn't know you needed to say or wanted to say or didn't even know you felt, which again is such a cool therapeutic part of the process.
Your song Ruby is about your VW camper van,
mm-hmm.
and sort of your home and transportation while on tour. And you spend a lot of time touring and traveling, mm-hmm. meeting your audience. Is that sort of a rewarding adventure for you, that, you know, what's over the next horizon? Does that pull you, or
very
does that
much.
Wear you down?
Both. In my 20s, and oh, now that I'm in my 30s, in my 20s, it definitely motivated me. I hadn't done a lot of travel until I started touring, especially traveling alone. I had really only traveled alone maybe once, and I hadn't anticipated traveling alone or touring alone, but at the last minute I had this huge nationwide tour booked with a violin player at the time. I think I was 23 maybe, and she kind of bailed at the last second, and I was already on the road and had all these gigs booked, and I knew I couldn't pay my bills if I didn't play the gigs. And so I kind of just went and fell in love with being alone and having all these adventures. And it was very motivating to keep me on the road and to meet people and have those interactions of sharing my vulnerable space and my music with them. But then as I continued to do that really, really hard, I think it wore me down emotionally and mentally and physically, to the point that, ironically enough, by the time the pandemic started, I needed a break so bad. But I just wouldn't allow that for myself. I felt like if I wasn't being productive or if I wasn't staying on the road, then I had no purpose at this point. My entire world had been revolving around music and touring, and I didn't know how to let that go, even though it was getting to the point of exhausting me. So it's kind of neat now that I have taken a whole year off and really haven't focused on music much and have kind of allowed space for other things in life. Now I'm back to that 23-year-old kid being like, oh, I can't wait to get back on the road and go meet people and see mountains and sunrises and have all these adventures again.
So you really push yourself.
Definitely. Yeah. I have a hard time limiting my efforts a lot of times.
So in some ways, your creativity is not structured like 9 to 5. You may be up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So structure might not be there, but there's some real discipline going on.
Yeah, I definitely, I've always believed in hard work, but I'm learning that there's a balance. And that
happens in your 30s.
Yeah, that's what I was told, and it's fantastic. It's so funny. I was so afraid of turning 30 for some reason. I was like, oh, no, I'm going to get old and boring. And everyone around me was like, no, your 30s are this magical awakening and understanding. And it's so true, and it's been fantastic. And, yeah, I think I am finding that balance of I can be exciting and adventurous and creative, but I also do need to rest and take time for myself and, yeah, maybe be a little more cautious of the burnout in the future.
Pictures on a Wall. Mm-hmm. It's a song that had an immediate impact on me, and I still listen to it frequently, especially when I'm on the road. Can you tell me how those lyrics came about?
I actually wrote that song the same week that I wrote Sunscreen, and I was in Arizona. I was really sick because of a terrible sunburn, which is where Sunscreen came from. And I was staying at a friend's house in Arizona. She was out of town, and she said, hey, the key's under the mat. Go sit in the AC, make yourself an ice bath, and just relax for a little bit. And so I did, and while I was in her apartment, she just had all these cute decorations and, you know, wall decor and photos and all this stuff. And I just had not had that in my life up until that point. I'd lived in basements and attics and tiny closets and vans and Buicks and so many random spaces, but I'd never had a space that was concrete and in one place and could be, you know, decorated. And I didn't have anyone that was waiting for me to come back. And I started realizing that I maybe wanted that a little bit, that I wanted a little more structure. I wanted a home base and maybe a person to share that with. And so I just started thinking, man, my life is so cool. What am I bummed about? And I started thinking of all the places I'd been and all of these incredible things I'd seen. But I still want some stability. And yeah, that's where that song came to be.
So for a year, you had stability. Do you have pictures on a wall?
I have so many pictures on the walls. Yeah, yeah.
So this is almost the follow-up to what you're requesting in that song. Mm-hmm. How is it?
Well, it depends on the day. it's hard to say just because the last year has been so tough for so many reasons beyond.
Yeah, it's not like the pandemic was a vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of stress built in. So it's like,
right.
Oh, I think I'll put this on the wall there and never watch the news again.
Yeah, so it wasn't just like, oh, great, I get to take a year off. It was like, oh, crap, my entire year was canceled and what do I do? I'm really, really excited to go back out and meet people again and have adventures, but also create my own space within those adventures for a little bit of rest.
So you're an independent artist, mm-hmm. and that makes sense while talking to you, is you're also a very independent person.
Yeah, sure.
So I know that you've had offers from record labels and that mm-hmm. sort of thing, and tell me why it is that you decided, no, it's just me on my terms. Is it the freedom?
It is freedom. It's a lot of stubbornness and a lot of learning to value myself and my art more than what the music industry sometimes allows. I have been very fortunate to be financially stable in my career as an independent artist, mostly because of streaming services and touring. And so when I started getting offers from labels, I was really excited at first, and it felt like I had reached some kind of accomplishment that
there's definitely a level of validation there.
Exactly. Yeah, it was this like, oh, we recognize that you've been working hard and now we want to work with you. But in reality, the further I got into those conversations, there was one record label in particular that we were in talks for probably 8 or 9 months, back and forth with contracts and lawyers and everything. And at the end of the day, it didn't feel supportive on both ends. It felt more manipulative and advantageous. And yeah, I just realized, you know, my art is so personal and important to me, and I don't want to feel taken advantage of or like someone is manipulating what I get to put into the world and how I get to do it while they're profiting more than I am off of it. I'm not saying that I would never sign with a label, because I think there are a lot of independent labels that are actually very beneficial for smaller artists like myself. But I have not met that one yet.
So you mentioned streaming services as being advantageous. While a lot of folks who've been in the music industry over the last 40 years are throwing up their hands at the streaming services and the lack of revenue, how did you make it work for you?
Honestly, I feel like I'm kind of one of the lucky ones. When I put out my second record, Spotify was, I mean, it was big, but it wasn't what it is now. Some of my songs ended up on playlists. How that happened is still kind of a mystery to me. I know nowadays people pay for placements or even have full marketing teams that will push to playlist curators. But that wasn't my experience. I just woke up one day and somebody said, hey, I saw you on this playlist. And all of a sudden my plays went from a few thousand to a few hundred thousand. And with that, then I just was in the system, apparently, which kind of turned into benefiting me on tour, where I would go to towns that I'd been to before and only had like, you know, 10 or 15 people show up. And all of a sudden, 50 to 100 people were showing up because they'd heard me on Spotify. I definitely understand where a lot of artists are coming from, because 0.003 or whatever cents per play is not a lot of money.
But for you, it wasn't about the money. It was about the exposure.
I mean, it was a little about the money at the time. It definitely, the exposure helped, I think, more than the money. But I was so poor, too, at that time. I mean, I had maxed out 3 credit cards, and I was living in an attic for $150 a month when I wasn't on tour. And when I was on tour, I was living in a Buick, which is not awesome.
Well, they have leather interior.
They are classy vehicles. Very smooth ride, I gotta say.
If the air conditioner works, you're golden.
Exactly. So yeah, it was, I mean, the money was definitely a huge surprise and felt like a miracle that then also helped me be able to record another album and helped me be able to continue my career, because I don't think I could have, just financially. I was maxed out at the time that Spotify started taking off for me. So I am very grateful, but I'm also aware of the issues that streaming services have, especially for independent artists.
So as an independent artist, you have control over pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've interviewed people on the podcast, and we can talk about their music, but because it's not theirs, I can't play it.
Right.
So would you allow me to play Pictures?
Of course. Please do.
Let's end the podcast that way.
That sounds great.
Ira, thank you for taking time to talk today. I know you're busy, and I just appreciate you coming in.
Thanks so much for having me. This has been really lovely.
This is Pictures on a Wall by Ira Wolf.
I've climbed the mountains in Montana, danced in the lights of New Orleans, poured that rain away with me, and San Francisco stayed with me. Nashville made its way in between. Fell in love in Minnesota and fell apart south of Salt Lake. Colorado calls to me and Washington will always be begging for a piece of me to stay. Maybe some things never change, but I wanna know how it feels to hang pictures on a wall.
Pictures on a Wall by Ira Wolf. You've been listening to Audio Tractor, discussions around music and creativity. Thanks to Paul Ekberg for the use of his studio and Clark Slicer for his audio direction. You can find music, videos, and merchandise for Ira Wolf at irawolfmusic.com. I'm Alan Strickland. Thank you for listening.